Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. This show is available on iTunes and, like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Quite a long week, friends. Of course, we have the pledge drive wrapping up here at WFYI. If you enjoy Film Sociology, please go to WFYI.org/give to show your support for Film Sociology and all things public radio goodness. So I'll be talking about that a little bit. And, of course, Friday is not Hawaiian Shirt Day. It is the opening of Indy Bardfest's production of Lysistrata, which is happening at the Cat up in Carmel. You can go to IndieBardfest.com for tickets, and of course, I am a part of that show. So, saw nothing new this week. Hopefully going to catch up on films next week as far as video releases, and hopefully getting back to some screeners, or at least some screenings at theaters. So that's going to be the goal. So I appreciate everyone's patience there, but there is a few items I want to get to this week. First off, raising a glass to Loretta Lynn, one of my mom's favorites, and when I think of the music biopic, Coal Miner's Daughter is right up there. You know, great performance by Sissy Spacek, and it's a 1980 Academy Awards, and I'll get back to Loretta Lynn in a moment. It's a great example of apples versus oranges. It's not 1990. It's not Goodfellas versus Dances with Wolves. I think Raging Bull is a masterpiece. I also think Ordinary People, which won Best Picture, is a damn fine film. And I remember in 1980. Everybody was talking about Mary Tyler's Moore performance in Ordinary People because it wasn't Laura Petrie, it wasn't Mary Richards, it was unlike anything we'd seen from Mary Tyler Moore. It was completely different than her Nun in Change of Habit. But, and she was kind of the odds-on favorite, and Spacek just brought it as far as playing young, really young, playing older, doing her own singing. She does her own singing, bounces off Tommy Lee Jones really, really well. I mean, and this was back, this is 1980. There was not a music biopic coming out every 6 months. These were kind of events. Also, the fact that she was still alive when Coal Miner's Daughter came out. Her and Lynn and Spacek became very close friends because of this film. Spacek wound up recording an album of her own. As my buddy Scooter put out earlier this week, Sissy Spacek should just dress up as Loretta Lynn at least once a year, maybe Christmas. So anyway, revisit Coal Miner's Daughter. It's a really good film. And especially if you're a fan of the music biopic, like I said, is a new one happening every other weekend, it feels like, go check that out. Also want to pay tribute to Charles Fuller, who won a Pulitzer Prize for his play, A Soldier's Play, which was later made into A Soldier's Story, of which he did the adaptation and received an Academy Award nomination. That's not bad. And I was 14 when A Soldier's Story came out, and the investigation of an African-American Army sergeant during World War II, and the investigation is conducted by an African-American officer played by Howard E. Rollins, which nobody had seen an officer of color in the South in the 1940s. I remember seeing this film in the theater. I was 14, and the complexities of racial tension, whether it was white versus black, black versus black, the military versus the townies. It's a pretty complex film and still holds up, doesn't hit you over the head. It's not Crash. And quite the cast, man. A slew of familiar faces. Like, as I mentioned, Howard E. Rollins was the big star at the time. Adolf Caesar, who did the play and did the film and got a Best Supporting Actor nomination. He's scary as hell with Sergeant Waters. Art Evans, David Alan Greer, my buddy Abdul Hakeem Shabazz and I got to interview David Alan Greer, and this was one of the first things I brought up. David Harris, Denzel Washington, still early in his career. Wings Hauser, for you Golden Globus fans. Patti LaBelle has a scene. Trey Wilson. It's just really well done. So I wound up Wednesday night after getting out of rehearsal, sitting down and revisiting that film, and I really liked it. It still holds up, as I said. Herbie Hancock did the soundtrack. I might have to see if I can find some stuff for the other show that I work on. So, yeah, salute there. All right. There's a moment that happened for me this week, and I should make this into a new segment because there's two installments in this one called Lighten Up, Francis. That, of course, is what Sergeant Hulka says to Psycho in Sergeant Hulka, played by Warren Oates in the film Stripes. And in this aspect of cinema, I have lightened up, but I was reminded this week that I need to lighten up on one particular item. If you'll allow me, it's my show. I've been on a real early Elton John kick in the last week or so. So I listened to Tumbleweed Connection, Honky Chateau, the title is self-titled, and revisited Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, which I'll get to in a moment. And I am reminded that on that album, of course, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, a song that is used for me brilliantly in Kevin Reynolds' film Fandango, which I have spoken at quite length on this particular program earlier in the year. Of course, Fandango got re-released on Warner Archives on Blu-ray and video DVD. I highly recommend it. It is the story. It's Kevin Reynolds' first film. Young Kevin Costner, young Judd Nelson. And it's 1971, Austin, Texas, and five guys go on a road trip, one final road trip before. Some of them have to report to the draft, and others are going to go about their lives. And the use of the song as the boys are making a trip from Austin to Mexico, the confidence, the fun, the energy, it's great. It's one, like I said, it's one of my favorites. And it took me now to realize that as I was listening to Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, which, by the way, a strong double album, very strong double album, and the fact that your first four songs on this, and I know there are lists, the best three, four songs in a row, but your opening songs are Funeral for a Friend, Love Lies Bleeding, Candle in the Wind, Benny and the Jets, and then Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. That's pretty good. Now, side four is Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. And I was reminded that Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, the album, was released in 1973. And Fandango is set in 1971. So I got to lighten up on that. I have talked about how I tore into Rock of Ages, a film that is set on the Sunset Strip in 1987, and there's a scene early on in the film at Tower Records, and one of the posters they have of the new albums they're trying to promote was the first Skid Row album, which was released in 1989. And that, it didn't wind up spoiling the film for me. But, it's just that's a little bit of an inaccuracy. That's a bit distracting. Now, this is not A Knight's Tale or Baz Luhrmann's films. And if I remember right, in Rocket Man, speaking of Elton John, when Elton John plays for the first time at the Troubadour, I believe he's doing Crocodile Rock, which, you know, he didn't record until many years later. So, but that matches the theme of that film because it's not a standard biopic. It is a breakdown of Elton John's life on and off the stage in not necessarily in numeric order, in chronological order. So, the other one that also helped me lighten up on this is the underrated film Pirate Radio, Richard Curtis's film about a pirate radio station off the coast of England. It's set in 1966, and man, they use Jumpin' Jack Flash, released in 69, as a really good introduction to the Rice Iphons character. So anyway, there are those moments, but that's more of a straight-ahead film. Fandango's more of a straight-ahead film. It's not, bending genres and bending the timelines. It's just a standard film for the most part. So, but I lighten up on that because I love the song, and I love the use of it in Fandango. So there you go. A realization of Lighten Up, in another installment of Lighten Up Francis. Kind of like when I found out about the beginning of Saving Private Ryan. And I have to thank Chris Lloyd for correcting me on this. At the beginning of Saving Private Ryan, you have the old man and his family at the cemetery, and he takes a stumble. He takes a fall. And I, for the life of me, I thought that the camera comes in close on the old man's eyes, and I thought that we went right into Tom Hanks's eyes on the beach at during World War II. And that's not the case. We get shots of the ocean and the beach and the water and the ships, and then we get to Tom Hanks. Because at the end of the film, I realize that the old man is Private Ryan, and my argument was, then how does this old man remember the first 2 hours of the film that he's not in? That's not the case. I mean, so I was corrected there. So anyway, a nice installment of Lighten Up Francis. And speaking of Lighten Up Francis, we have a few grab a pencil moments, but this cracked me up. On Twitter, we'll call him JJ, says, just tried listening to your Clerks 3 review on your podcast. This was sent October 4th, and the review of Clerks 3 was September 9th. Better late than never. You can across as very pompous and jealous of Kevin Smith. No. If his movies aren't for you, that's because Smith didn't make them for you. He did. He knows his audience and what we love, and he's great at it. Okay, so Nah, I'm not jealous of Kevin Smith. I haven't had surgery. I have a family as well. I enjoy my work. So let's not do the podcast or critic who's jealous of the artist. I'm in a play. I direct, so that's not happening. You can across. So, you know, learn to spell on Twitter. And, I know you just tried listening. You listened to the whole thing. So thank you there. And as I said on the show almost a month ago, better late than never, maybe I've outgrown Mr. Smith's work. Because I liked one. Really loved one. Liked two. Didn't need three. But thank you for listening, JJ. Keep at it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here at Film Podcast here at WFYI.org. All right, before we go around the horn, just a reminder, of course, the Heartland International Film Festival is running through October 16th. You can go to heartlandfilm.org for all the information there. Check that out. Over at the Tibbs Drive-In, on Screen One, a triple feature. Here we go. Lyle Lyle Crocodile, the original 1984 Ghostbusters, and The Woman King on Screen One. Screen Two, Barbarian and Pearl. Screen Three, Smile and Piggy. And Screen 4, Bros, and Hedwig and the Angry Inch. All of that is happening at the Tibbs Drive-In. At the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville, two nights of horror film insanity, The Drive-In Massacre, is happening at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. You'll have to get all the information on more films, short films, all sorts of stuff, chicanery happening there. So, yeah, go check out the schedule at the Skyline in Shelbyville. Over at IU Cinema at 7 o'clock tonight, Friday, October 7th, is Watcher. At 10 p.m., The Black Phone. On Saturday the 8th at 4 o'clock from 1933, Gary Cooper, Frederick March, Miriam Hopkins, Designed for Living. Tuesday, October 11th at 7 p.m., the Sundance Indigenous Shorts. Thursday, October 13th at 7 p.m., All the President's Men. Friday, October 14th at 7 p.m., Pull My Daisy from 1959. Friday, October 14th at 10 p.m., the original Suspiria. Oh, that's going to be good on a big screen. Saturday, October 15th at 4 p.m., Libeled Lady from 1936, William Powell, Gene Harlow, Myrna Loy, Spencer Tracy. And then Saturday, October 15th at 7 p.m., On the Road from 2012. And then Tuesday, October 18th at 7 p.m., Gattaca. All of that is happening over at IU Cinema at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin. Friday and Saturday, 2 and 7.30 p.m., The Silence of the Lambs is happening over there. Speaking of Italian horror, Golden Globus Theater, they are doing their Schlocktober, and they're doing all Italian horror films, and this week they did Murder Rock or Slash Dance or whatever else they're calling it over there. So, yeah, check out the guys over at Golden Globus Theater. You can hear my tippy-tap if you like. So, all right, with that in mind, all right, we already went to Twitter a month after the fact. And grab a pencil. We start with Robert Muggy, who says, Songs for Drella, Viva L'Amour, six Ozu films, Late Spring, Late Autumn, Equinox Flower, The End of Summer, The Flavor of Green Tea Over Rice, and again, Tokyo Twilight. Thank you, Robert. JJ writes, finally watched RRR, the best new thing I've seen this year. Stunning, exhilarating, a must-see. Jessica, and by the way, Jessica is my stage wife, Mirani, at Lysistrata. She writes, would you rather the 2009 Friday the 13th, The Borrowed, Absentia, Hocus Pocus 1 and 2, Antrim, Resolution, and Under the Shadow? Thank you, dear. See you on stage soon. Eric writes, first view, Andrew Dominik's Blonde, which I will hopefully get to soon, and his rewatches, The Uninvited, Experiment in Terror, which he says, I had not seen since the autumn of 1965. Good calls, Eric. The Uninvited is a really underappreciated haunted house film with Frederick March. It's on Criterion. Experiment in Terror is the film, well, music is done by Henry Mancini, and my first ever contribution to Stolen Moments, my first Matt moment, because that on that particular show, Stephen had Henry Mancini music. That's what I played, was the title track to Experiment in Terror. So, very good. Oh, way to go for Robert Muggy. Terry writes Deep Blues, because it's leaving the Criterion Channel. So that's cool. So there's a nice exchange between Terry and Robert. That's why I do what I do. And there you go, friends. That's it. That's what we've been watching this week. My lovely kid, M, is ADing a show. So I posted about that before I asked you to tell me what films you've watched this week. And the algorithms of Facebook, my kid got more traffic. So short, grab a pencil this week. That's okay. That's fine. So you know about Heartland. You know about... you know about Lysistrata, which runs this weekend, tonight and tomorrow, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m., same format next weekend. If you enjoy all things film sociology and all things public radio goodness, and if you enjoy film sociology, the Blues House Party, Stolen Moments, shows that I'm not involved in, please show your support for the station by going to WFYI.org/give. If you have contributed to Grab a Pencil, please consider showing your support. You are a part of this show, and I appreciate it. I'm still reading movie titles 2 years after a COVID lockdown, and it's become this weird, odd Facebook community and Twitter, film community that sort of looking out for each other. So that's cool. I didn't expect that to happen, and I'm glad it did. So if you've ever contributed to the Grab a Pencil portion of Film Sociology, part of the reason why we still have Film Sociology is because of financial support from public radio goodness listeners like you. So, yeah, there's that. WFYI.org/give. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Hopefully you'll get to watch some films that are good, that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Hope to see you at Lysistrata at the Cat in Carmel this weekend or next weekend. And again, go to WFYI.org/give to support WFYI, Film Sociology, and all things public radio goodness. And we'll do this again next week. Got a little audio tribute. I think you can figure it out. And we'll talk next week. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan. Thanks, Loretta.
In a cabin on a hill in Butcher Holler. We were poor, but we had love. That's the one thing that Daddy made sure of. He shoveled coal to make a poor man's dollar. My Daddy worked all night in the Van Leer coal mines. All day Mommy rocked the babies at night and read the Bible by the coal oil light, and everything would start all over come break of morn.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live!